We're talking about a solid connection. We're still in the series, Holy Living. And I'm finding out more and more that you cannot live holy if you're not solidly connected to God through Christ. You can't. The analogy I shared with you was about this crane. I looked it up even further. It was in March of 2015. Crane fell. Killed four people, wounded a whole lot of people, did a lot of property damage. And what happened is a sheet of metal fell, hit the crane. The crane toppled. The top part of the crane fell backwards over the building and took out a brownstone. And folks are trying to figure out what caused the crane to fall. And when you consider the damage, say, all this damage happened because the crane fell, so we have to find out why it fell. No, that's not why the damage happened. The damage happened because the crane was not securely fastened. The crane was not properly connected to its support. We have these monitors on supports. They stand no matter what we're doing. We could jump up and down. They stand because they have been properly connected to their support. And that support is solid. But this has to be properly connected to that. We have to be properly connected to God if we're going to withstand when things come that hit us.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you something right now. If you want to live in a place where you don't have to go through anything, you might as well go home to be with the Lord right now. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have it. But he didn't. You see, this is where our opinion of Christ comes in. He didn't leave us there. He said, be not dismayed. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And according to the Amplified Classic, he said, I've taken away its power to harm you. We have so much testimony of that. We have Daniel in the lion's den, which says specifically, God closed the mouth of the lion. He took away the power of the, listen carefully. He took away the powers of the lion over Daniel. Over Daniel. How do I know? Well, when they threw all the liars in there, the lions, as Pastor Clinton said, ate them up. Because he didn't take away the power of the lions, he took away their power over Daniel. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall by any means harm you. So the enemy still has power. That's why they are out there saying what they say. But he doesn't have any power over you or me. Unless we forget who God is, who we are, and the power that we've been given. If those things stay intact, there isn't anything the devil can do but watch. And he'll have to shake his head and say, he's too good to not believe. God is so good, it would make the devil repent. Fortunately, it still works for us because we haven't committed the unpardonable sin. But see, when the Apostle Paul spoke Romans 21, and I took some time to read some things about Romans, Rome was the place to go. Rome was where they were. You ever hear anybody say, when in Egypt, do as the Egyptians? No. You don't hear him say, when in Jersey, do what the Jerseyans do. When in Rome, do what the Romans do. Because Rome was it. And when Paul wrote this letter to Rome, it was about 30 years after the resurrection. So there was some time that people could have gotten things right if they realized he was too good to not believe. But it was about 30 years, according to the, you know, where do you get that from? I read the introduction in the Message Bible. That's one of my study. I got a lot of study resources. And I just wanted to know how long it had been. It was about 30 years. But even after 30 years, Paul observed there was still too much of them. Too much of they were in them. If you just tuned into that, there was too much of Rome still in the Romans. There was too much of it. To the point where they weren't living the life that they were designed to live because they had too much stuff in them. And one of the bad things of having that is you don't know it. They didn't know they had too much of the world in them because what they were doing was normal and natural and in line. I've talked to people. Don't make eye contact with me in the store. We'll have a 30-minute conversation. Because I feel if you look, I say hi, good morning, something. You know, I'm not going to look away. But when I talk to people, nobody has a problem talking about wanting to live a sinless life. Nobody has a problem talking about I want to do the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. Nobody has a problem saying, I want to be good. I don't want to be associated with evil. But people have a hard time talking about being holy. You don't go to someone and say, yeah, I want to be holy. They're like, holy. Because they have a concept of holiness that's just warped. They think you have to be flowing in white. Woo, I'm so holy. Just frittering all over the place. Everybody talk to you, you got to move your arms. Thus saith the Lord my God. Thou shalt not. People say, I don't want to be like that. But that's what they think. So we don't talk about holy. Joshua 1:8. I don't know what order I'm going to be in, so just flow with me, okay? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou shalt observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. But none of that will happen if you forget the word that you heard. None of that will happen if you're not thinking about it, talking about it, conscious of living it day and night. What do you talk about? I know groups of people, they meet for lunch, and probably some groups after service. I don't not meet because I said this. But then they're going to get together after service and get something to eat. What's going to be the conversation? Are you going to be speaking revelatory words? Revelatory, I guess that's a word. You're speaking words of revelation as to what God gave you while you were reading. Are you talking about what how you apply the scripture in the work? Are you talking about how good your meal is? Guys, are we talking about the game today? Just say games. We're going to say, did you see that video of Draymond Green punching his teammate? Boy, the boy needs Christ. How's that going to help us? That's not meditating on the word day and night. That's meditating on other things day and night. And because we're meditating on other things, we are not observing to do all that's written. Not because we don't want to, we're not thinking about it. We're not thinking, it's the first of the month. Let me see, this is rent. Okay, my car insurance. Oh, I forgot about that one. I forgot I changed my cell plan. That's what we're thinking about. And we're not looking at those things and say, Father, your word says, you provide my every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So praise the Lord. I'm happy to send in this payment right now because I know you got me covered.
That's right.
And the reason I can do that because the money's already there. I'm not sending it from an empty account hoping money just frits right in. As I've said many a times, we were down to our last $20 in this world. You will not have more than $20. That was like what the scripture was saying. And God had two or three supermarkets opened up within the same area. One supermarket opened, there were two supermarkets there, and they were competing with each other. For the first time, yeah. And they would have buy one, get two free. Oven stuff for roasters. Purdue. And my wife went shopping with $20 and brought back change and three bags of groceries. The Holy Spirit led her there. Why do you think he did that? Because he said he would provide for our every need according to his, not ours. He provides according to what's familiar to him, not what's familiar to us. We just have to believe, and we have to stay familiar with him, and we'll get what he's familiar with.
Amen.
If you want to hear that again, you got to listen to the message. But he's too good to not believe. See, Rome was known for its imperial decrees, its exquisite poetry, and its moral philosophy was considered world class. Why? Because basically it was, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. And people are like, yes, I'm going to Rome. And these Christians were in Rome. They didn't have Clinton and Sarah Utterbach there to teach them. They had people teaching them that were not strong in the Lord yet. And you can't say, well, after 30 years, they should have been strong. I'd have to ask the question, how many years have you been in the Lord? And have you ever missed it recently? See, I had to put in recently because you just only thought about something years ago. But they were caught up in everything that Rome had, and everything that Rome had to offer. Tozer said, many evangelical churches are closer to the world than to New Testament standards in almost every regard. Closer to the world. That's why we spend time when we fellowship talking about worldly issues. And now we don't just spend time, we get mad. Because if you're talking to someone who feels he's too good to not believe, and someone else that doesn't have that revelation yet, you want to unfriend each other. Can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. You can't, look, don't mention praying for politicians that you don't like. You get into a fist fight. Being a Christian, but not meditating in the Word day and night, observing to do all that's written, we have not established or maintained a solid connection. So when situations come, we don't act in a holy manner. We have to understand that the reason we can resist the enemy is because we've chosen to live holy. If you don't choose to live holy, you're going to fall for anything that comes. Why? Because you'll rely on reason, not holiness. So you won't recognize that still small voice saying, don't do that. This is not the truth. Or you need to go sit down and read Psalms. Go read Proverbs. Don't watch that program. Don't eat that slice of pie. Just saying if you're listening. But what happens is, folks, because we don't do those things, we rationalize. There was someone who had the job to check the connections of that crane. And for whatever reason, they failed to do their job properly. For whatever reason. Maybe he got busy. Maybe he figured, I check this thing every day and it's fine. It's fine. We don't know what's happening in the spirit realm. We don't know what's happening all around. We don't know what we're going to go through. But God does. And we stay holy. We clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's holy. We're holy. We connect. And because I've chosen to live holy, it means something that we don't think about. The Bible says, let me get to the scripture. Well, let's go to Romans 12. Let's hear verse 1 in the Passion Translation. It said, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God. He encourages us to do what? And don't get caught into that. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to submit. You already missed it. You already missed it. Surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness. Surrender and live in holiness. Doesn't say live in holiness and surrender. Surrender to God and live in holiness. What? Because you have to surrender to God so you can live in holiness. Because surrender means you recognize that there is a force greater than you, and it's to your benefit to connect with him instead of stay where you are. So you say, I surrender. That means I no longer think what I want. Unless it's in the context, I want to do your will. Then we can say, I want. Then when his will is revealed, we do it. Because we want to. Because we're holy. Because we've surrendered ourselves. So, that has to mean, if I am not living holy, I have not surrendered to God. I surrender to God. Are you living holy? Because if you surrender to God, you can't help but live holy. Why? Because that's who he is. That doesn't the scripture say that? As the one who called you is holy, you be holy in all manner, in all conduct and manner of living. You be holy. But if you're not supported, you won't stay holy. If we're not meditating in the word day and night, we won't stay holy. We'll start easing back into worldly things. Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, I see nothing in the world, I see nothing, when I read the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible but holiness, and nothing in the world but worldliness. Therefore, if I live in the world, I will become worldly. On the other hand, if I live in the Bible, I will become holy. So what neighborhood do you want to live? You don't need a realtor to get there. You just make a decision. I'm no longer living in the world. I'm no longer going to subject myself to the they-sayers. Can't even get it to roll off my tongue the right way. Now I understand why that term always bothered me, and it didn't make sense that it bothered me, but it always bothered me when someone told me, they said this, they said that, because my attitude was, who are they, and what makes them right? I didn't know that I was thinking more from a spiritual aspect. I thought I was thinking from a natural aspect. Naturally, it didn't make sense to me, but spiritually, it makes a lot of sense to me. You have people who are not holy telling you how to live holy. Well, you're a holy person. You have unholy folks telling you what you can do and not do, what you can say and not say, where you can go and not go, when you can praise and not praise. You tell me I have to marry same-sex couple? No, sir. No, sir. Be it known out there, no, sir. Am I going to advise someone, oh, it's okay if you get an abortion? No, sir.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Life, more abundant. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus said, I came so that you might have life. And life more abundantly. I'm not going to get off on that road because I can be a stepping. But a holy person makes holy choices. And it doesn't mean those choices are going to be easy choices. The choices are going to be made based on whether or not you still have this lofty position of your God. Yes, there could be some unusual circumstances. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, he had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what he had for you. And we're going to sit there and allow people to kill future prophets. Get down off that box. There's nothing in the Bible but holiness and nothing in the world but worldliness. If you live in the world, you'll become worldly. If you live in the Bible, you'll become holy. If you live in the Bible, you will become holy. And now people come up with all sorts of reasons and reasonings. There was a lot of speculation as to why that crane fell. Send an engineer. The bottom line, it was not securely fastened because the support structure and the connections are designed to take abuse. They're designed to do it. And if they're in place, they do their job. I've said this before. A $1 billion spacecraft fell and 7 people were killed because a 58 cents part didn't do its job.
That's right.
Why did I tell you that? Everybody is valuable.
Yes.
That's right.
Every role you have is valuable. So support was provided, but it wasn't securely fastened. The crane wasn't securely fastened to the support. When we take the time to pray, the Bible says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, say it again. My spirit prays. And when something else happens, I get edified. I get built up. So that means my connection gets even more secure when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. If I'm not praying in the Holy Ghost, you can change my middle name to Weakling, because that's what I will become. And I'll fall a lot. Because anything that comes, I'll fall for. Even if I think, this isn't right, but I've been good for X number of years, so I can have one misstep or two missteps, or 6,852 missteps. After all, God loves me, and love doesn't keep account. No, but the devil does, because he doesn't love you. Do you realize the only person the devil hates more than a believer is our Christ? He hates our guts. He hates our guts. How many of us know that? Then why are we listening to him? We know that when we say it, the devil, you're a liar and you're the father of lies. And I say, you believe that? Yes. So why are you believing what he said? Why are you getting upset because he said you're sick and you're going to die?
No.
Like the devil keeps telling me I'm going to die.
No.
He's a liar. You're listening to someone who's been beaten down with Michael's footprint on his hip, telling you how big and bad he is. You're standing, you got your foot on his chest. And he's like, leave me alone, I'm stronger than you are. You don't know what I'm going to do to you. I know what I'm going to do to you. Turn the chubby checker. Let's do the twist. But instead, we do something else that song says. We go round and around and around we go when we don't have to. Bible says straight is the path.
Yes.
Straight. Say straight is the path.
Straight.
No, do it that way. Straight is the path.
Straight is the path.
So if you're supposed to be going like this, why are we going away? Trying to balance things. Well, if you were any good at balancing, you'd make a fortune in the circus as a juggler. We're not supposed to juggle things. God, thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you're going to tell me which of these things you want me to do now. If it's each of these two, if it's not these two, whatever it is, you tell me, because I'm not going to do anything. You're my Lord. And I submit to your lordship.
Yes.
So which one of these should I pick up? This, okay, I pick this one up. What about the other one? What about it? That's someone else's responsibility. Or it may be mine, just not at this time. Just not at this time. See, all of that is because I have a solid connection with my Father, and it's causing me to live holy. When I'm making my own choices, I am not living holy. I'll say that when I'm making my own choices, I am not living holy. I'm doing what I want to do when I want to do it. It may not be what Father wants me to be doing at that time. And I can't use the excuse. I'm up to level 400 and I think 74 on this game called Wordscapes. I sit down, had so much going on in my head, I'm like, Lord, I need to clear my head. I didn't get on my knees and start praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't pick up the word and start reading it. I picked up Wordscapes and tried to escape by playing that game. I'll show you how silly those things are. Nothing against the game. But I'm doing that because I want to settle my brain. Get my brain to just relax. So I play a game where my brain has to think. I play a game where my brain has to figure things out. Here are these seven letters. Where are these words in these letters? No, not that one. And say, I'm relaxing. Dumb. Dumb. Not being holy. Being worldly. What? The game says, relax your brain. And I believed it. The only thing that was relaxed probably was the phone, because I sure wasn't. Trying to figure things out. Then say, forget this, go to win every game and look up the word. There it is, okay. But it's those types of things, folks, that we need to be conscious of, because the Bible tells us it's the little foxes that spoil a vine. And those are little foxes that turn into big dogs. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Because we need to understand that the word is our support. Verse 16 is the Amplified Classic. Every scripture is God-breathed. How many?
Every.
Given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. Say why. Go ahead, say why. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. So it doesn't matter what group, how many of they you come up against. It doesn't matter. You are thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says here that you will be trained in righteousness, in holy living, so that you'll be complete and proficient. That's why Christians who live holy wind up getting some nice positions. Why? They're complete and proficient. That's what they are. See, when you make a choice to remain holy, an anointing comes on you. See, going back to Daniel, these teenage boys, you can read it in Daniel 1, They were sold, they were taken in slavery. They could have taken the attitude, I thought God was so strong, why did he let our city be taken? Why am I separated from my parents and my family? Why am I being forced to learn this new language and eat this strange food? I'm not doing it. God says, don't eat this. I'm not. I may not be able to do anything about where I live, but I can do everything about what I put in me. I'm not eating that food. I'm not drinking that wine. He took a stand.
Yes.
While being a, not only a slave, but a slave that's about 13, 14 years old. Maybe 15 at best. Thinking holy. Separated from his family. Living among strangers. And he tells his slave master, Asphanez, listen, for 10 days, just give us vegetables and water. And you check us out. And if at the end of 10 days, you determine whether or not we how we look. They were willing to trust what God told them. And Asphanez was afraid for his life. He said, when I bring you to the king, if you're sickly, he's going to take my head off. Just give us 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier than any of the others that were given the king's food. Healthier. And it says, and God gave them anointings and learning. And they were found to be 10 times smarter. Why? They remained holy, even though they were in captivity. And let me tell you something else. Because I used the excuse for years, I'm not going to church because look at the church leaders. Look at the path. Look at this. Look at that. Look. There wasn't a person. There were only two other people that Shadrach could look at that trusted God. Meshach and Abednego. All of the adults, every single person in that kingdom bowed down when the music played. So there wasn't anyone for them to say, well, just watch what this person does. If he did, they bowing. Well, let me go talk to the pastor. They bowing. Say, well, what are we supposed to do? God said, don't bow. So I don't care if every single person in this nation is on their face. We are not bowing down. And they didn't whisper it. The king said, I'm going to give you one more chance. When I play my music, you start bowing. We don't have to think about this. So why are you trying to figure it out? Those young boys said, we don't have to think about this.
Yeah.
We have a lofty opinion of our God.
Yes.
He will deliver us,
yes.
O king. But you know something? Even if he chooses not to, we're still not bowing down. I'm going to stay holy. Period. And the king had a fit. You all know the story. Heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Caused the guards to be willing to commit suicide rather than defy the king. When all he was going to do was kill him anyway. And these three men, these three young boys, but by that time they were teenagers, went into the furnace. I'm glad Hollywood leaves that one alone, because they'd had him screaming, God, help me, please, God. They went into the furnace. And I'll tell you something else that struck me as being amazing. Because when you get people together, especially Christians, there's always a dispute about what God said or what he meant. What did he mean by wives, submit to your husbands? Well, I don't think he meant submit. I think he meant... There was no discussion between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What should we do? Today we'd be rationalizing. Well, I don't think it would hurt to bow down. You know, God knows our hearts. He does, and right now he knows our hearts are afraid. But they didn't argue. Shadrach said, hey, look. We're just going to the furnace. Are you crazy? Look how hot that furnace is. There was no discussion. They had it settled. They had a solid connection. And they didn't care what they were going to do to them. Didn't care. How do you know they didn't care, Pastor? Because it's recorded that they said, even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. Because our God is stronger than anything you got. And I know they took that attitude because the Message Bible says our God will deliver us from this furnace and anything else you can cook up. So it doesn't matter how he comes, you stay holy, you go through. You go through. And what I find absolutely amazing is that they stayed in the furnace until the one that put them in called them out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Can we have 5 more minutes? Just 5 more minutes, please. Said, okay. And they bring over all of their officials, give them the sniff test. There's no smell of fire on them. Look at their clothes. There's nothing scorched, nothing burned. No other God can save in this manner. So I'm making a decree. Anybody that says anything about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces. I'm not getting in trouble with that God. Because no other God can save in that manner. No other God. That's why Tozer said we have to keep our lofty opinion as to who God is. Because once you lose sight of that, your respect for what he said he can do will wane. And if you don't respect God for being God, you're not going to live holy. And you'll start making other alliances, just in case. You may not feel like being God today. You ever stop to think maybe God wants to watch the game? He wants to see who's going to win. Folks, I need to unhook. I don't want to unhook, but I need to unhook. But I want you to think about this. Surrender means you give up completely, or you agree to drop your wants, dreams, or desires and do the will of someone else. And once you have surrendered, what you want to do becomes irrelevant. not even open for further discussion. So James 4:7 says, so then, surrender to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The devil will not flee. There won't be any resistance if you're not surrendered to God. Because once you surrender to God, you start living a holy life. And there is nothing, just read about it in Luke 4, when he tempted Jesus. In the natural, was Jesus hungry? Sure. But he was even more hungry for holiness. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Simple. He had a solid connection. No matter what he was hit with, even in the garden, when he knew he was about to go through hell on earth, he said, Father, if there's another way to do this, you won't get any complaints from me. But if not, it's your will, not mine. It's your will. I've surrendered myself to you and to your keeping. Whatever you say I go through, I go through. I came here to die for these people. I didn't say I'd die for them as long as they spoke nicely about me. We're put on this earth to be the light of the world. That's not just the people we like. That's not just people whose opinions we like. The only opinion that matters is what God said, and that's what we have to get back to. Because that's where our solid connection is, and that's where it'll always be. Father, I thank you. This is truly the day that you've made. We've rejoiced and we're glad in it, but we've also learned some things. And we're thankful, Father, for you letting us know that there's more to being holy than just raising our hands and singing a song. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for giving us revelation, shedding light on a situation, so we can arise and shine because the light has come in another area. And we know how we've had to get holy and stay holy. Thank you because there is no other God like you. You are the only true God, and that thought, that concept, that mindset, that knowledge is never going to wane. Nobody is greater. No one is greater than you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that always reminds us no one is greater than you. So that in every situation, we respond based on the truth that we are holy, not worldly. And we thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope you got something for it. Now, if you're going to give God praise, give him praise. Yeah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. Wonderful Savior. Can't be shy about giving him praise. Can't be shy about giving him praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you another thought quickly. Another quote by Pastor Tozer. He said, our error today is that we do not expect a converted man to be a transformed man. And as a result of this error, the churches are full of some substandard Christians. A revival, among other things, a return to the belief that real faith invariably produces holiness of heart and righteousness of life. So we need to understand that we're not just converted. We're transformed.
That's right.
We're transformed.
That's right.
Tell somebody you're transformed.
Transformed
people live holy. Amen. Before I get into the announcements, is there anyone here? You've listened, may have laughed, all of that's good. As the young folks used to say, it's all good. As long as the end result is that you realize you need a Savior. The Bible tells us if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. And that's more than just not spending eternity in hell, although that's a big reason to get saved. But it's living heaven on earth. You won't have control over all the power of the devil unless you have the Savior living on the inside of you. You won't have it. You won't get an unction from the Holy One and be able to do all things. You won't be able to live holy. Okay, Pastor, I got it. But now how do I get it? Simple. Just make a confession. Everyone say this. Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you went to hell. You went to hell in my place. And I believe after 3 days, God raised you from the dead. So I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn to you, and I ask you, make something new of me. That's it. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe it in your heart, you've been converted. Now that you've been converted, we need to help you become transformed. One of the ways we help is that we give you some free information. It lets you know just what happened when you made that confession. Gives you some pointers on what you want to do next. You know, find a Bible teaching church. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It gives you other valuable information. And the easiest way for us to get it to you is if you stand or just raise your hand. I thought I saw a hand go up towards it. Amen. And if there's anyone in here, you're saved, but you know you haven't been living holy. And you want to fix that and get that right. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Don't want to embarrass anyone at all. But you know what? What we want from God has to be stronger than what we think of the people. So if you just stand where you are, I'll lead you in a confession. And you'll be restored. And if anyone looks at you in judgment, they need to stand next to you and be restored also.
Yes. Amen.
Anyone standing? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.